The Ray Darcy Show with Toyota. In a survey of 8 million cars, the most reliable car in Germany. Toyota, the best built cars in the world.
53102 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@todayfm.com. There's a connection, obviously. Paul Galvin is in Ray's book, and Ray is mentioned in Paul's book. It's all because you use one of his photos.
A lot of your thing.
Paul Galvin is here in Nelly's. Yeah, in my own words, the autobiography. Did you discuss whether you'd have a ghostwriter, or was it always going to be you?
No, I didn't really discuss it with anyone. No.
Just
myself, yeah.
Yeah, because I was reading in the book there that one of your teachers, when you were in primary school, said you should be a writer.
You did, yeah.
What was his name?
A writer, John McAuliffe, my primary school teacher, a writer or a journalist. And I did think about journalism, and I decided it wasn't for me. Yeah. I went teaching. I was telling Evelyn there about the water cycle song. It's this YouTube clip I used to play for kids to tell them about the water cycle.
Because you were a geography teacher.
Yeah, I taught geography
as
well.
Go on, give it to
us. It's a catchy little thing on YouTube, check it out. When I got sick of explaining it, I just get my laptop, play the clip for him. First years. I asked the first year one day what the water cycle was, and he said a pedal.
Convention and convection and all that sort of thing.
It's a very catchy little video with all the stages and the song with it.
It's a nice subject to teach, isn't it?
Yeah,
geography?
It's nice. Yeah. It's interesting. I found it interesting. Yeah,
I saw an Oxbow Lake the other day.
Did you? Yeah. You're probably in Mayo or somewhere.
Got really excited. That's an Oxbow Lake there. Do you see many yourself, Oxbow Lakes?
There's a few in Kerry.
Is there? Yeah. And you're. Explain the difference between South and North Kerry to me.
Well, there's a big geographical distance anyway. I mean, North Kerry is probably a different type of personality, probably. You know, the South Kerry people are... I find South Kerry people hard enough to read, you know. They're typical, real typical Kerry people, you know. Listen, don't say much, and, you know. North Kerry people are more probably... literary thing, I think, maybe. And
right.
More directional, I think, as well. There's a kind of a strain of a rebel in North Kerry, you know.
And you're a North Kerry man.
Well, I'm a North Kerry man, yeah. But, you know, a lot of Republicans would have been, you know, North Kerry is a Republican stronghold. And, yeah, North Kerry people are just a bit more, I think, literary, maybe a little bit more... chatty maybe than South Kerry people.
Right. And it's Lixnaw, Fanoog. That's your two places.
Yeah, they're both tricky. We say Lixnaw, outsiders say Lixnaw. No, it is Lixnaw, and then people say we say Fanoog, but outsiders say Fanoog. And it's two difficult ones to pronounce.
So you played hurling for who?
For Lixnaw, yeah.
Right. And football
for Fanoog then, yeah.
Right, okay.
So it's two sides of the parish. Like where I'm from originally, there's no football really.
Okay.
There's no football.
All hurling. Right.
All hurling.
Yeah, because I didn't realise that you played so much hurling.
Yeah.
And there's a Kerry County team.
There is.
Yeah. And did you ever consider
it? I did. I played the first senior like inter-county game I played was hurling.
Right.
Against Wicklow. This fella nearly killed me. Nearly took the head off me. This fella I was marking from Wicklow. And I looked at him and I said, he pulled at my head. And I was like, Jesus, you pulled at my head there. And he goes, I know.
What have you got to say about it?
Fair enough. it's going to be like this. It's going to be a long day.
Welcome to County Hurling.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like 17 or something, and I said, "Whoa, this is going to be a long day out." But it's a big hurling country. Like, but I mean, Kerry is Kerry, and Kerry is football. You know.
Yeah. And when did you decide then that you weren't going to get national success if you stuck with the hurling?
Yeah, I think probably UCC was a turning point for me. You know, I came under the guidance of a lot of great people in UCC, from Eamon Ryan to Des Colnan to Dr. Con Murphy. And then to the players, the guys I met, and inter-county players from other counties. And I think it was around UCC time I said, look, you know, maybe I could do something with football. But I had played, at the same time, I had played Kerry, underage Kerry football as well, minor and under 16 and that. So, you know, but it was really around the time of college that I decided maybe I could.
Yeah. And you talk throughout the book about developing your game. You know, like, firstly, it was your physicality, and then you weren't a great kicker of the ball, and you had to practice that. Tell them about going home, like, with collecting the bag of balls from your neighbour.
Well, yeah, I was a good technical kicker, but I used to just, I don't know, I think it was the start, my confidence and my composure wasn't good enough, so I just found through practice, then I got better. But I used to just grab the balls from the lads, the cardens, my club mates would keep the footballs from training. So I'd call in between training nights and I'd knock on a door and grab the bag of footballs and hit to the field and just kick around on my own and get my, Yeah, just practice made me more comfortable, and my technique was there, but my composure wasn't quite there. But practice brought on my confidence and composure. And
what would you do? Pick a spot and try and land the ball on it, or what?
Yeah, you kick points, and then I would have picked spots on a wall, the crossbar, either post.
You know what's fascinating about your book, that sort of stuff, but also the way you talk about at one stage you have your back to the line, the sideline, so you could see more of the pitch.
Yeah.
That seems like common sense, but not everybody does it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I shouldn't have put that in.
No,
I see other fellas doing it now. That will hurt me now if I see other lads at it.
The next time you watch a GA match, you're all standing sideways looking at each other. And then your description of the Gooch, how he plays, just talk us through a bit of that. Because there are traditions and how you defend, and if you're a forward, how you attack and all that sort of thing. But he ripped up the rule book, didn't he?
Well, he did, really, total genius of a player. And I was lucky that there was probably a few in that Kerry group that I was with, Declan O'Sullivan just retired, I'd put him in the same category. But, GAA is a very conventional place. It's a very conventional game as well. There's a way to play it. And then the odd coach will come along and he'll tear up the rule book a little bit, and teams will start to play a different shape, and then other teams have to react. But eventually, it always kind of comes back to how it's supposed to be eventually, But, Gooch, Gooch would stand up maybe. And wait for, almost wait for a ball in the most dangerous position, whereas most fellas wouldn't have that composure, that they'd have to run, whereas he had the nerve to stand and say, give it to me here, and if he had to run hard for it, he'd run hard for it, but he just thought of, he just...
Because
he
traditionally the forward would make a move for the ball and the defender would go after him, but he'd stand still.
Oh, he'd stand and... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Defender would be looking at him then.
What are you doing?
Why aren't you moving? And when he turned his back, then your man would be gone. And
genius.
I think that's what a genius does. Absolutely does.
But you don't name him as the best player. So who do you name as the best player?
Well, I'd say he probably was. I said Dara was probably maybe as influential. Gooch would win games. Dara was a good man to influence a game then out the field. If we needed to, you could lose momentum in a game and it would go away from you. And Dara was somebody who could take it back for you,
Because you talk about the big mo, don't you?
The big mo is a big one, yeah.
Momentum.
Yeah.
And you as a, sitting at home in the armchair watching, you can see that, where it drifts away from teams.
It does.
How do you get it back?
Yeah, well, that's where I suppose the big players come in and they can do something, and you got to try and do something, get a hold of the ball and do something decisive, And I think good players, like the best players, have a sense of, something needs to be done.
You talk, for a lot of your career, you played emotionally, and then when you were sent off for the second time, you said you were going to play without emotion. Was that you were trying to take emotion out of your game?
A little less.
Can't take emotion out of it completely. Yeah. So the first one was that one that everyone talks about. You talk about extensively in the book. So Paddy Russell was the referee. It was June 2008. It was a game against Clare, Fitzgerald Park. You were the captain, and you were just back after injury, so you'd put a lot of work into physio and training and all that sort of thing.
I was supposed to have surgery, and I didn't have the surgery because I'd have missed the whole year, so I just rehabbed my injury. It took me about 5 months, and that was my first game back. And
but you talk about context, so give us a bit of context, because right from the off There was a tackle on a Kerry man.
I would say my what I did probably killed the context of that game in many ways. I thought the referee was particularly poor.
And the linesman. You mentioned linesman a couple of times.
The incident, I called the linesman.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't have called the linesman. Had I done something wrong.
Right, because one of the Clare guys had held your hands down by your side.
He was just holding me down.
Yeah.
And I turned to the linesman, trying to be responsible, as captain, which is something I would never normally do, to be honest with you. But you're captain, you're trying to be the old role model or whatever. And so I called him, and anyway, I got the same punishment as your man. And that was it, I was gone.
Yeah. When you look back at that, and because it's in the book, you've had to talk about it a good few times now. And what do you think about it now?
I don't think anything at all about it.
No,
doesn't bother me. I don't mind talking about it. I don't think about it.
Do you reckon you were a marked man Because there's a situation in the book where the water boy for the other team comes on and he's shouting at you.
Well, I think, look, I did things probably that, you know, the opposition would have said, you know, you might get a rise out of him, you know what I mean? So, but at times, no, it went too far, I felt. It got very silly at times, particularly with Cork, you know. But, you know, I was well able to handle it, and in fact, my discipline was very good. You know, on the whole, when I look at it on a whole, I think I did well, actually.
I want to talk to you about Dublin as well, and how the singing on the hill energised you, and other things. We're talking to Paul Galvin. His book is In My Own Words. We talk to Paul more after a quick commercial break.
The Best in Ireland Awards, all this week on The Ray D'Arcy Show.
Today FM and Bord Gáis Energy. Rewarding, helpful people.
Paul Galvin, In My Own Words, the autobiography, and you're doing signings, Paul, where and when?
Yeah, we're in the INEC on Sunday at the Audi Cork Future Now event, signing there around 1 o'clock, and O'Mahony's Tralee on the 13th, so next Sunday and the following Saturday.
Right. What height are you?
5'11".
You're small enough, aren't you, for you're taller than me, but...
Yeah, you know what I mean, yeah, in the middle of the field in GAA, yeah. For a half hour, it's about right. Midfielders, then you're much smaller than a lot of midfielders, you know?
Yeah. And that has its own challenges, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You need to disrupt.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah,
I had to. It was my job.
That was your job, was it?
I was only doing my job.
So you were a disruptor. Just
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So get the tackles in, get the ball away from them, be there for the breaking ball.
Absolutely, yeah, that was it. Yeah. They were the basics, and if I wasn't doing those, then it had an effect.
And I suppose in that role, the glory didn't come that often, because it was a, you know, you were sort of an unsung hero.
Yeah, I liked that work, no, I must say, but it probably wouldn't be the most glamorous, like, you know. Yeah. But then, of course, you know, you need to be able to do a bit more than that then afterwards. If you're trying to stay on a Kerry team, you have to be able to add the other parts, like, but they were my role, like.
So you've scored more goals and points against Dublin than any other player. Is that what I read?
That wouldn't be still a whole, it wouldn't still tell you a whole lot.
Would you describe in the book where you're standing there out in Croke Park and they're singing Come On You Boys in Blue on Hill 16 and you're soaking it all in?
Yeah, we were out before them there back in around 2004, I think it was. And geez, it was just a great atmosphere. And the hill were just chanting, the whole hill were chanting, and the Dubs hadn't come out yet, you know. And I just remember, like, it was like a flick. It was like a flick switched in me. Is that right? Or a switch flicked?
Yeah, something flicked a switch.
Yeah.
Flicked a switch, isn't that it?
Yeah.
I suppose
it was
switched
good,
to flick.
Good buzz, yeah. It was always a great buzz playing the Dubs.
Yeah, and as you rose to it.
Well, I think you have to, yeah.
The pranks, their stories there, and... So you're a good impersonator, are you saying in the book? You do voices?
No, I wouldn't say impersonator, no.
But that's in the book.
No, it's a movie scene that I do as a little party piece, because one of the lads, Darrow Kinnaird, there used to look, you know, he's a big movie buff. And
right.
He's into these, like, you know, obscure movies and that, and he'd come out with these very kind of philosophical quotes from arthouse films, like, so right. I used to fire this scene at him. He'd expect us all to know things then, you know, about similar movies, but I used to throw out this scene from Intermission at him, you know, about this little kid. There's a scene where a little boy is walking along and there's guys shooting a movie. I don't know if you know the movie, but anyway, there's a little scene there that I do for him. That's all.
You're not going to do it for us?
No,
you have to read the book. Yeah. And what about yourself and Tighe after winning an All-Ireland final outside the Berkeley Court, going outside, climbing up a tree and having a couple of beers?
We did, yeah. Just out of the way, because it was just hectic inside.
Right. So climbed up a tree.
We were shouting down, people couldn't see us then, we were calling their names and they were all looking up over their heads and they couldn't see us.
You know, Duncan Stewart does that as well. He's a tree climber.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, he just goes, if he wants to get away from it all, he just climbs a tree.
Yeah.
That's
a good idea.
Watching Homeland the other evening, and the main terrorist guy is a ringer for Paul Galvin, checking out his team in Dublin. And crucial question.
I pulled in an airport actually over
did
that.
You?
Yeah. I was in Heathrow or one of the London airports. They thought I was Arab or Iraqi or one of those.
Right.
But anyway.
You're not.
No.
North Kerry. Crucial question for Paul. When does he think Flairs will be back in again from Richard, the Thatcher on a roof in West Limerick?
Whenever you want to wear them, Richard, man.
Yeah, but do you reckon you don't follow fashion? You sort of create fashion, do you, or what? You're in Doc Martens, I see.
Just interested.
Oisin and Mark, we're all in Brogues now. So Brogues are last year, are they? They're
Brogues. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested in fashion, really. I don't love it, but I do find it interesting. I kind of enjoy clothes and that kind of thing, but I think the whole thing's been overplayed, really.
But you in fashion?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, you know, I do enjoy it and I'm interested in it and it offers me a lot of opportunity. So I follow that and... Yeah. Your interests are your interests, you know what I mean? What can you do?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Like, I worked in a drapery and so I was interested to read about Farah. You've 3 pairs of Farah in your wardrobe.
Yeah. My dad used to wear them when
I was young. Yeah, the little F.
Yeah.
We sold in Whelan's and Clare, we sold Farah. That was the most popular.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Brand of trousers.
Yeah, brand. I'm very interested in brand, actually. You know, I'm very interested in brands as well as fashion, you know what I mean? Like, there is no such thing as fashion, really, I think. You know?
This is a philosophical chat now. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think fashion really is just an expression of a culture. Like, it's more to do with culture. I think fashion is more about brands and clothes and having a bit of style.
Do you think we're manipulated by the brands? See, I have this theory, right? Keep it. Like, the Doc Martens there from the 70s and the 80s, they just have a big warehouse. They go to fashion to keep them there and then... 10 years on, they just release them again and they're unfashionable.
Yeah, possibly so. That happens, you know, but
yeah.
I don't think we're manipulated. I don't think people are manipulated by it, but I think it's seductive, or it can be seductive, you know.
Mm. Ask Paul Gavin about the battles himself and Cork's Noel O'Leary. They're mentioned in the book as well. They have to read the book.
Yes.
In my own words, the autobiography, Paul Galvin, and there's sign-ins all over the place in the coming weeks. You have a website?
I have a website, yeah. I'm stuck in that website again now, and it's busy. It's quite big traffic on it for a one-man team, you know. Yeah. So I'm back on board on that side, driving it. I'm doing a bit of advertising for brands, and I'm creating some product at the moment, so... some of my own clothing product. I was stuck in a bloody legal thing there for a few years with a clothing company.
How did that turn out?
You
can use the word you've galvanized,
yeah.
Right?
And my Twitter handle, PGal10, I've lodged both of those as trademarks, so I'm just started to make product,
okay,
or some sample product. So I'm going to now in the next while hopefully look at working maybe with some... I think I want to work with, you know, maybe bigger brands or retailers here in Ireland, so I can maybe learn a bit more on the inside from people with experience in both retail and design. So
okay, we were going way over time here. Paul Galvin, everybody, thank you very much, Paul. This is Paul Galvin, is the website. We're running late and we're going to the news at 11. We'll talk to you after that from Nelly's.
The Best in Ireland Awards, all this week on the Ray Darcy Show. Today FM and Bord Gáis Energy, rewarding, helpful people.